Lord doesn't release me off of this yet, but I want you to take a look at something with me in the Scripture, and we're just going to continue this prophetic flow through the Scripture. Let's go to Acts 17:28, and this is some therapy to you by the Holy Spirit this morning, if you'll just continue to receive it. Because there's a sense of motivation, a sense of articulation. There's a sense of inspiration by revelation that I recognize that I'm flowing in this morning out of that time of worship with the team and with our church. Acts 17:28, and it's up here on the wall for those of you who can see, and then Gary, we may go ahead and pull up some different translations. In Acts 17:28, it says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being. Even as some of your prophets have said, for we are also His offspring." In Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being, and we are His children. Now, I want to just take that verse and I want to paraphrase it for a minute, then we may go through some other translations. This is the long, Greer turnaround of this verse. In you He lives, in you He moves, and in you and through you He has His being. And be reminded, He's your Father. Not only do you live in Jesus, Jesus lives in you. Literally. That's the miracle of divinity. Physically, He's in heaven. Spiritually, He's in you. Actively, He's in heaven. And He's actively in you. In Him you live, and in you He lives. God is expressing His life through you. I have a word for you too, Blake, for you and Kim. As I was praying for you all again this weekend, I appreciate you. I'm thankful for you. I'm honored to have had you as part of my personal life and our ministry life from the time that I began to pastor. I've had the honor of having Kim part of my life a little longer than that when she supported the ministry when we were in prison and jail evangelism. And I want expansion for you in the ministry. It's in my heart. It's been there for a long time, and I believe it's coming. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for your dedication. You are bearing fruit. Part of the reason why the church is the way the church is because of you and your family. But there's increase coming. I'm believing in the here and now, and definitely in the millennial kingdom. But we want to see it now. And John, I remember, I remember years ago, a word God gave me for you that I spoke to you. You're a loyal man. You're a loyal man. That's your daddy's heart. And you surrendered to it. You're a faithful man, Blake. And God honors that. And that causes people to receive honor through your faithfulness. Through your loyalty, John, that's ministered to other people. All of you, your home care group leaders, our elders, our deacons, our junior deacons, our worshipers, every one of you is a leader by divine nature. Every one of you are anointed to have influence. And it's not even your influence. You have a great personality, but your daddy's personality is even greater. You have a wonderful interaction with people. But for a lot of us, that took the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us to be able to become joyful through us. Amen? So you are going from glory to glory, faith to faith, image to image. You are having an impact on people. And you're allowing people to have an impact on you. But all you have to do, all I have to do, to be like Jesus is just yield to the Spirit of Jesus because He's in me. That's all I have to do. I don't have to work anything up. I just need to realize and recognize I'm dead. I'm dead to sin, dead to self, dead to temptation. I'm dead to frustration. I'm dead to anger. I'm dead to pride. I'm dead, for I have died and my life is hidden with Christ in God. So I don't even have to do the works of becoming presentable. Jesus made me presentable. Jesus makes me presentable to the world because in Him I live and in me He lives. And I want you to personalize that. In you He lives. And in Him you live. You can't be separated. You cannot put the life of God on a shelf. You can just ignore the flow of it, but you can't put it away. He who began that good work in you is faithful. As it says in Revelation 1:5, Jesus is the faithful witness. And that faithful witness has made us a kingdom of priests unto God. You're not just an enjoyable son or daughter of God. You're also an enjoyable and an appreciated vessel of God. You're a channel. You're a human channel through which the rivers of life flow. You are anointed with the anointing of the Anointed One. As He is, so are we. So are ye. So are thee. In this world. As He is, so you are. Wow. I don't have to work up anything. I just need to awaken to it. In fact, the real way that you come out of a pattern of sin is to awaken unto righteousness. That's what Romans says. Awaken to righteousness and sin not. Awaken to righteousness. And who is our righteousness? Jesus. And whose righteousness are we? The righteousness of God in union with Jesus. So back here to Acts 17:28. In Him you live, and in you He lives. Now drink that in for a moment in your consciousness, in your awareness, in your focus. In Him you live, and in you He lives. Look at the pretty haircut Jesus is wearing this morning. Hallelujah. And you know what? Jesus in you, the Holy Spirit in you, has no blindness of the eyes. So you can exchange your physical lack of vision for His perfect vision. And that's where miracles manifest. And I command it to be so in the name of Jesus. I'm appreciative that this totally left blind eye is having flashes of light. But that's not the fullness. This left eye is never seen. In Jesus' name, the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. In Jesus' name. And the right eye will not have blurred vision. The right eye will not settle for only a little bit of vision. Because the eyes of Jesus, the eyes of the Holy Spirit are in you. And resurrection life is in you. That's how you create a miracle. That's how you create creative healing. Realize the healer is in you, just as the Savior is in you. And when you feed on those truths, it transforms you. I'd love miracles to happen all the time, just instantly. And so would you. And each of us have had at least a couple of miraculous flows just to wet your whistle to let you know it's there. But then you've ended up getting a little frustrated because it didn't happen every time you laid hands on somebody. But I want to remind you that when you lay hands on somebody, God's laying hands through you. God never fails. There may be some blockages to the flow that you're not aware of. But God never fails to leave a touch of grace when He touches through you. The power of a hug. You know, there are people in this congregation, both here today and not here today, and a congregation that's growing far beyond these walls, that whose lives are being touched through the power of a pure hug from the Holy Spirit through you. Not everybody's free to give a hug without strings attached, especially men hugging attractive women. But boy, I tell you, there's a purity and a power in being freed from improper motivations so that you can give a holy hug to anybody that wants one. And you know it becomes holy when you become as free to hug your brothers in Christ with the same passion that you used to hug the women of Christ with, that maybe wasn't even at the time motivated properly. And there's a proper way to hug a woman or a hug a man if you're of the opposite sex. There's a proper way to do it physically. But the real motivation and the real purifier and the real power is being prompted, motivated by the Spirit of grace who's in love with them as much as He's in love with you, which is beyond description. In Him you live. In Him you move. Well, in you He lives, and in you He's moving. All those students over the years, every time you ever spoke into someone's life with the compassion of Jesus, even if you weren't even speaking Bible to them, they could see into your eyes. They could hear the tone of your heart. They could hear what your voice was saying. They watched your body language. That was your daddy revealing himself. Daddy's love never fails. All those people you've danced before and that you've danced over, daddy's love changes them. All those songs that you've allowed the Holy Spirit to write, Jerry, there's a whole lot more songs Daddy wants to write. And He'd like to write new songs through every believer. But not every believer is to the point where they'll let Daddy write songs like He does through you and through Andrea Kimball. So that makes that psalmist ministry and that minstrel ministry so much more valuable. Because you're an open vessel. Andrea's an open vessel. Vicky's an open vessel. Vicky got her book of poetry published. But boy, it's not just a typical book of poetry, is it? That was Daddy looking for someone to speak words of endearment to over and over with a lot of different variety that they could pick up and read over and over and over, like they can pick this book up and read over and over. And Vicky made herself available to be Daddy's little girl. So that through that poetry and through that prose and through that prophetic flow, other people can realize, recognize, and envision they can be or they are Daddy's little girl. Through the songs that our worship team sings up here, you're setting the environment, bringing forth an atmosphere that brings safety, that brings peace, that brings security. I'm so grateful for Sandy's heart. As long as we've been married, and even before that, her heart was to know Daddy in spirit and in truth. And because of His influence in her and her influence in me has helped us come to the place that we are in marriage and in family and in ministry. And I can't help but want to pass that influence on. I can't help but want to pass the influence of new songs on. My own sister Becky, who's now part of her congregation along with their daughter Bridge. You know, another example that God's grace doesn't return void. Years and years and years ago, in the midst of me running from Jesus as hard as I could, we stayed out at the house for a season, me and a live-in girlfriend, with my sister Becky and her two sons and her husband. And I was involved, I had been getting heavily involved with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and had come back to Marietta on the run from the law out in Missouri. Becky took us in. And while I was there, I must have been doing some talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses, and Becky went to her local church and got me a book on the Kingdom of the Cults by Walter Martin. And was prompted and asked me to read that chapter on the Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't know if I read the whole chapter. I probably did, but I know I read enough that the Holy Spirit convicted me that that's not what I was looking for. And then in the midst of that, Jesus spoke to me and said, I'm the one you're running from, and I'm the one you need to run to. Well, that's been over 30 years ago. Probably 35 years ago. But God's touch through you and through Steve and through your boys didn't fail to turn me around. You're valuable. In you He lives. In you He moves. In you He has His being. As I'm looking at Gary, man, you know, I've seen a lot of people smile, but there's not very many smiles that has as much power to cause me to giggle as Gary's does. And see, it affects you too. There's power in that grin. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Go ahead, Gary.
Turn it off.
There's power in that. There's power in that. God takes the simple things to confound the wise. Maybe that's why we're redeemed. I used to kind of take that personal. Who you calling simple? Well, I'll be as simple as He wants me to be. Yeah, I guess I do too. You know, I still can't believe that Friday night in this congregation, I had my little fry cap on. I can't believe that. I went home puzzled. What was that about? I mean, it was, where'd that come from? And if you weren't here, you have no idea what I'm talking about. He does. And then three or four other people ended up with it being passed around and put on their head. Would you like fries with that, sir? That wasn't intentional. And then busting out laughing, which, you know, I never used to do. But it just happens periodically anymore. It's the joy, that overflowing, overwhelming joy that just turns me silly, that just breaks me down. And then as easily as I can begin to laugh uncontrollably, I get a revelation of Jesus and I just begin to weep. So I look like I'm having these gigantic mood swings instantaneously. Well, it is in the kingdom of God. You're bipolar by the Spirit. That's Keith's description of it. Yeah, because that's what it looks like. You know, you're laughing uncontrollably, and then all of a sudden, or I'll be reading Scripture or listening to the Word on my electronic Bible, and a word, just a word, is just a verse is quick, and it just speaks to my heart, and I just bust out weeping. I didn't used to know that level. I didn't have that level. I had my Strong's Concordance and all my word study books, and man, I had my 50 translations of the Bible and feeding on them, and man, I was storing the information in, but still was sucking for air in some areas of my walk with Jesus. And I still have a bunch of those translations. I still have access to all those study guides. But I found out the greatest study guide for me is the person of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a person somewhat guilty of ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Because the learning doesn't set you free. I have 2 earned doctorates. And even Friday night I mentioned, I don't even like writing, when I'm writing a faith note, Dr. Christopher Longer. Sounds like I'm demanding respect. They didn't call it. Oh, sorry. Be healed. Be healed. Let's not miss this opportunity. Be healed.
Hey, you didn't spit on me. I was just laughing.
All. Okay. Well, be healed anyway. I thought I slobbed in her eye. Holy slob. I'm a holy. I'm a holy slobberator for Jesus. Say what?
I found some people that have doctors that are kind of strange.
Yes. Yeah, some people
but
would.
You're not.
Well, thank you, ma'am. We receive that.
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking.
All right, thank you. Well, some people think I'm strange, especially those who visited for the first time Friday night. We may have only seen them one time, but they're going to remember Friday night at Fresh Fire. But they got a little picture of liberty. Hallelujah. And I bet when they go to work at a fast food restaurant, they won't wear the fry caps.
One time.
Yeah, because we're weird. And we weren't even as liberated in those days as we are now, really. We just keep getting looser and looser. The grease just keeps flowing. Would you like fries with that?
They'll remember.
Well, so will I every time I see one of those little things. Fry caps. That's good, Keith. Good observation. A reminder and example of being a humble servant. Amen. And humble doesn't mean you mumble, grumble, and fumble. To be humble means you're dependent upon Jesus. You're looking unto Jesus. In wrapping this up, I'll remind you, in Him you live. In Him you move. In Him you have your being. And equally as important and as equally as real, in you He lives. Through you He moves. And through you He expresses His being. He not only has His being in you, He reveals His being. He expresses His being through you to a generation of young people, Simeon, that need all the grace they can get. But it's always been that way. There's always been wickedness in the earth. There's always been new devices of darkness to distract people. There's nothing new under the sun, just new wrapping and new packaging. But there's always been darkness. But in the darkness, God commanded the light to shine. You're the light of the world. You shine, you glow in this darkness. And darkness cannot comprehend the light, literally meaning in the Greek language, the darkness cannot overpower the light. But the light overpowers the darkness. And I'll remind you that in the application of light versus darkness, light is not the absence of darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. The only way darkness can prevail is for there to be no light. And one little light in the darkest room brings a change to the level of darkness in the midst of that light. You are the light of the world, and that light cannot be extinguished. And that is Jesus in you, who lives in you, moves in you, and has His being in you. I'm not even going to pull up any other translations, Gary. Hit me with a track button, and we're going to pray. In fact, I think I want to have just a touch of personal ministry. So here's what I want to do. Can I ask for our pastors, our elders? And if you're able to, Fran, as one of our elders, I want you to come up here and stand with us. And Dan, we're making that transition from you and Sandy from deaconhood to eldership. So you come on up here if you will. Dan and Sandy oversee, of course, the Wednesday night home fellowship up at Marietta. Gary, if you can, or when you can, I'd like you to come, because we're going to form a little, here's what I want to do. We're going to form a prayer tunnel. Yeah. Okay, so we'll split you all up, put some on both sides, and stand at about maybe right here on the, use the square as your space. And here's what I want to do. In fact, John Kimball, I want you to come on up too. John was my original assistant pastor at this ministry when Blake and Kim and Wayne and Jane Bear were our original elders. And in fact, John, you need one more. Yeah, Gary. Okay, Gary, when you come up, you stand across from John. And here's what I want to ask you to do. I just want you to trust the Holy Spirit. And if you can stay for just a few moments longer, I just want you to just make a journey through this prayer line. And guys, here's what I want you to do. We can't afford to clog the line up with slow-moving traffic. You don't even have to prophesy over everybody. You don't have to pray individually over everybody. I want you to trust your Heavenly Father that as they walk by, you lay hands on them and God imparts and just stirs and confirms to them, okay? And I want to ask everybody in our congregation who wants a touch from and a confirmation of anything that you've received from the Lord today, whether through worship, through the exhortation, or through the ministry of this word, or the prophecy, I just want you to come up and walk through the prayer line, and just whether it's for a healing, just a touch, whatever you need. Let your daddy touch you through his people up here this morning. Gary, are you able to come up? Don't worry about it. What's it doing? Is it finalizing? Still? Oh, go ahead and stop it.